I don't know if you've counted how many times we've stood tonight, but if you'd stand one more time for the reading of God's Word. You kind of expected that. Amen. Honoring the Word of God. Acts chapter 1, verse 4. And not to exposit these verses tonight, but to present the burden of my heart. Verse 4 says, and being assembled together with them, this is Jesus, he commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but that they should wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me. Now, in the word wait, there is the idea of expectancy. You're looking for something. You're waiting on something. Verse 5, Jesus said, for John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. Verse 12. Then returned they unto Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is from Jerusalem a Sabbath day's journey. Verse 13. And when they were come in, they went up into an upper room. Verse 14. These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren. Now, Jesus had told them to wait for the promise of the Father. And so they all went to this upper room, and they continued with one accord in prayer. They were waiting. And I would not do injustice to say they were expecting. He said, wait, and I'll send this. And they went, and they prayed. They were expecting what he promised. Father, speak to us from your word tonight. Lord, you're doing a work amongst us. Lord, you're gathering our hearts together, Lord, doing a work in these last days. And I pray you would put this expectancy in our heart. In Jesus' name, amen. You can be seated. I believe it's always been the hallmark of a Pentecostal meeting that people came with expectancy. Someone says, Pastor, nothing's happening at church lately. And I'd have to respond with, have you asked yourself a question? And is this, have I been expecting anything to happen lately? Amen? You know, the bottom line is Jesus told the disciples to tarry in Jerusalem because they could expect something. And so they tarried because they expected what he promised. If I was asked to pinpoint what I thought was the most needed thing missing in our Pentecostal churches and missing in our worship today, I'd have to say it's expectancy. Expectancy. Not just expecting God to do something at church, but expecting God to do something in me at church. So I'm going to ask a question tonight. When was the last time you just really expected God to do something? Just really expected God to do something at church, in the service, in the worship, in the prayer time. How many remembers a time when revival came, an outpour of the Spirit came, when someone was taking up prayer requests? Does anyone remember that night? I'm telling you, we get a real case of expectancy. We'll even expect God to come down during the announcements. Right? Amen. To expect him to do something, but not just expecting the Lord to do something for you or around you, but to expect God to do something in you, and then beyond that, to expect God to do something through you. Hallelujah. And so as we begin to look at this, I really debated as I prepared this message if we can somehow create expectancy in our hearts. Or is it simply a byproduct, a result of God's sovereign moving? Now, I know there's some truth that until God moves in our hearts, we won't have a lot of expectancy. But I believe there's also something else true in life. And it's simply this. I have found this true whether it's marriage counseling or people hitting the doldrums in their Christian experience. You may not feel what you should be feeling. But if you'll act, I'm not talking about hypocrisy, I'm talking about faith. But if you'll act the way you should be feeling, it won't be long until you'll be feeling as you should be feeling. Did I get all that across? I've told a married couple, well, we just don't feel like we love each other anymore. Well, act the way you'd be acting if you had a feeling of love. And if you'll act the way you ought to act, you'll begin to feel that. Hallelujah. I believe, I don't know if we can create that expectancy or not, but I know one thing. If we visit the prayer room, if during the week we pray for God to move in the service, and if in the service we lift our hands at every opportunity, we worship Him, I believe we'll begin to act like we expect. I believe we'll begin to feel the expectancy in our hearts. Amen. You see, when there's expectancy, the prayer room fills up. When there's an expectancy, people look for an opportunity to worship. They look for an opportunity to testify. When there's an expectancy, there's an eagerness about the preached word. There's an eagerness to respond to the word. When there's an expectancy, folks don't look for a reason to stay away from church. They look for a reason to come to church. Even the thing I want to point out as I proceed tonight, these apostles, these 120, were people just like us, with concerns just like us, with problems just like us, with the flesh just like us. But they went to the upper room, and what were they doing there for 10 days straight? Why were they gathered there? Why did they stay there? I'll tell you why. They were expecting something. And could I also jump way ahead and tell you that their expectations were not disappointed? God does not disappoint our expectations. So quickly tonight, I would like to say we, like them, can expect something promised. We can expect something promised. If I told you that my wife had baked a beautiful pie, and tomorrow around noon, I was going to come to your house and deliver it to you, you'd be expecting me, wouldn't you? You'd be expecting you. You'd expect it. Why? Because I told you I had something for you, and I was coming. Now look, I didn't tell you that. So I'm pretty certain not a one of you is going to be expecting me tomorrow to bring you a pie, because I didn't tell you that. I'm telling you this thing about expectance. We're only expecting what God has promised. If He's promised it, we can expect it. How many knows He promised in the last days to pour out His Spirit? We're not expecting a wishful thing. We're not expecting an ethereal thing. We're only expecting what He promised. Luke 24:49. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. But tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. There are some things God told us we could expect, and therefore we can expect them. Amen. Acts 2:39. For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are far off. I kind of believe we're in that far off. But notice the promises to the far off ones as much as it was to the 120 and their children. The promises to the far off ones. I'm just saying we can expect what God said He would give. Amen. Secondly, tonight we can expect something from heaven. Amen. 24:49, I've already read it. But Jesus said, I'm going to send the power from on high. I think the thing that has taken the fire and the passion and the fervency out of our worship is that we have begun to expect things from a horizontal plane, a human plane. Now listen, for a while you can create excitement by appealing to people of human things, horizontal plane. What are you talking about, Pastor Hurst? Well, if we brought in the best talented singing group, that would create a little bit of expectation. If we brought in somebody that could really give a motivational pep talk and talk about 20 ways you can be successful in life, that would create some expectation. If we could bring in the best of entertainment, that would create. But if all people ever get is things from the horizontal plane, from the human plane, pretty soon they'll lose that passion for church, that excitement for the things of God. But could I tell you what we're expecting? It's not something of human talent and human dynamics, not something from the horse. We're expecting something from heaven. Oh, how many would just say, what I really need? I need something from heaven. done. Hallelujah. Amen. What fires our worship is to expect things from on high. I just want you to personally ask yourself the question, when was the last time you expected something from heaven? If you just come to church just expecting things from a horizontal plane, this one to do this, that one to do that, this one to shake your hand, this one, amen, you're going to be disappointed and soon bored. But could I tell you, when you come expecting something from heaven, glory to God, that group gathered there, they weren't expecting something from Rome. They weren't expecting anything from the Jewish Sanhedrin. They weren't even expecting anything from the temple. They were expecting something from on high. How many believes the storehouse is full? The storehouse of heaven is full of things that God wants to give us. If you need deliverance tonight, it comes from heaven. If you need salvation, it comes from heaven. If you need encouragement, it comes from heaven. They were only expecting that which came from heaven, and they were not disappointed. Acts 2 and verse 2, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven. Oh, glory to God. I said glory to God. I believe God still gives things from heaven. And then we need with them to expect something never seen. Now, I got to be careful with this because I don't believe God will do anything outside the bounds of this book. And I don't believe God does weird things, and I don't believe God does fleshly things, and I don't believe God does carnal things. But I want to tell you, God can still move in a way that's almost unimaginable. Amen. And one of the problems is we get to expecting the same old and the usual and the way it's always been done. But I'm telling you, with them, we can expect something never seen. You say, well, I don't know really what we should be expecting. Neither did the 112. I want you to think with me about them. Jesus told them they could expect the Holy Spirit. He told them they could expect power when the Holy Spirit came. He said the Holy Spirit will endue you. That literally means clothe you. So they could expect the Holy Spirit to come upon them. And then he said that they would be baptized in the Holy Spirit. And so they could expect to be immersed in them. But they didn't know what that looked like. They didn't know how all of that would happen. Do you realize for this 120, none of them had ever seen anybody baptized in the Holy Ghost? How many here has seen someone baptized in the Holy Ghost Spirit? You've seen it happen. None of them had ever seen that. Did you know this 120 had never heard anybody speak in tongues? How many's heard someone speak in tongues? Hallelujah. They were expecting something never seen before. I'm telling you, with God, you can expect not even knowing exactly what it is you're expecting. I mean, you know the general thing as they did. You know that God wants to save. You know that God wants to heal. You know God wants to fill with the Holy Spirit. God wants to help folks. God wants to reconcile folks. God wants to, we know that. Amen. But we don't know how he's going to do it. We may not know when he's going to do it, but could not we come expecting God to do something we've never seen? Amen. Again, he may want to move during the announcements. He may want to save somebody during the choir singing. We don't know just exactly, but I believe we can expect something. You may have been around Pentecost a long time. Amen. I've been in it all my life, 57 years. I've seen some things, but our God still knows how to move in a way we have yet to see. Amen. Then we should expect something prayed for. So I walk in, and you and your family are at a table in the restaurant, and you look up at me and you say, we've been sitting here and sitting here and sitting here, but they just don't bring our food to us. I said, oh, you mean you've ordered? No, we haven't ordered, but they're not bringing food to us. Wait a minute, let me get this right. You haven't ordered, and you're sitting here, and you wonder why they're not bringing your food to you. Has anyone come to take your order? Yeah, but we didn't give it to him. But you're sitting here waiting for your food. That's ridiculous. That was a silly illustration. But I want to tell you, if you're in a restaurant and you haven't ordered, there's no need or reason to expect any food's going to be coming to your table. And I really, really believe this. There's no need to expect anything unless we've been ordering. I'm not talking about telling God what to do. Ordering is praying. Until we've been praying, there's no reason to expect anything. That Pentecost fell on a prayer meeting. Amen. They were praying. 10 days they were praying. Folks have been praying around here. You've been in the prayer room. I'm telling you, if you've been praying, you have every reason to expect it's coming to your table. Glory to God. We should expect that we pray for. Amen. The Holy Spirit came only when and where they were gathered together as a group of people to pray. Amen. I know we always say they were in upper room, and there's some debate about that. They prayed in the upper room, but it appears they might have also went to some adjacent place attached to the temple. The only thing I know is they were in one accord. They were in one of mind. They were not content just to leave it to Jesus given the promise. They spent time expecting and praying for what Jesus promised. Again, there's no need just simply to say, well, God promised it to us. No, they had the promise of Jesus, but they prayed for what he promised. How many wants to join me in praying for what he promised? Amen. We can expect something that's prayed for. If they had not prayed for it, they could not have expected it. Amen. Listen, I am so grateful for our folks here at church, and I'm grateful for those that come to the prayer room, and I'm grateful for those that come to the altar every service, and I'm grateful for the way folks stand and they worship. And I know it's not just in the noise and the rattle of an empty wagon, and I know there's times that there needs to be times of quietness, but I'm telling us, if we're going to pray, let's pray with the fervency. Amen. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth. Let's lift up our voices. Let's call upon the name of the Lord. I'm talking about really praying. And I'm telling you, when we pray, we can expect God to move. It's an endless cycle. If we don't expect things, we will not pray. And if we don't pray, we won't expect things. I can't tell you exactly which comes first, the chicken or the egg. Amen. If we don't expect, we won't pray. If we don't pray, we won't expect. So the only thing I know is let's just pray and see how it works. Amen. And then we need to expect something needed. Why did Jesus give them the promise of the Holy Spirit? Because he knew they were going to be persecuted. He had given them the assignment, the task of sharing the gospel and the good news. Amen. 120 seems to be a lot of people. You could even swell that number to the 500s that saw him. Amen. Amen. Before he ascended. But I want to tell you, even at those numbers, the people of God were grossly outnumbered. They were on the wrong side of society. They were on the wrong side of the Roman Empire. They were outnumbered. They were up against something bigger than they were. And Jesus knew that. You can't do this on your own. You can't do it in your own strength, your own resources, and your own ability. He said, therefore, I'm going to send you the power of the Holy Ghost. I'm talking about expecting something that is needed. If they needed the Holy Spirit, we need the Holy Spirit to live righteously, to live godly, to be a witness, to be a testimony, to have victory over Satan, over sin, over this world. And I'm telling you, we can expect something because we need that thing. It's not just an option, an added on thing. It's something that we need. It's not just about blessing me. It's that this experience was accompanied not only for what they needed, but what they needed to help those that needed the gospel, that needed salvation. You see, it's twofold. I need what's from heaven,
I need it for myself, but I need it because there's other people that don't know Jesus and they have a need. They need to be saved. They need the gospel. They need help. They need deliverance. We need to expect it because it's what we need.
And then it's to expect something supernatural. So much to be said. The Holy Spirit, He's from on high, Jesus said. You shall receive power. Nothing natural about that. It's supernatural. I'm telling you, what we need is something that cannot be explained in human, earthly terms. If just human talent moves people, the only effect in them is going to be what human talent can do. Human talent alone does not cause chains to be broken off. Amen. It doesn't bring help to a family that needs reconciliation. It doesn't save lost children. But Jesus said, I'm going to send the Holy Spirit. That goes way beyond human talent, human ability, human it's a divine enablement. How many's ever felt the Holy Spirit come by and you realize there was a power operating through you that was not you? You ever sought to share the gospel to someone and all of a sudden the Holy Spirit, amen, something supernatural. They were not disappointed. Acts 2:2, that sound came from heaven, rushing mighty wind. It filled all the house where they were sitting. There appeared unto them clothed in tongues. We read right over that. It just meant this ball of fire came from heaven, but it divided into flames and distributed over each of the 120 until there was a flame over every one, each one of the 120. And then it says they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Listen, tongues can be faked. Tongues can come from human, even carnal nature. Amen. From the very beginning, Pentecostals have never made it about tongues. Charismatics have, amen, but not Pentecostals. The first great preacher there at Azusa Street, William Seymour, he said, when you leave this place, don't go talk about tongues, amen, but try to get people saved. And so it's never been about tongues. Yet because it came with tongues, it always comes down to tongues. In other words, when they got the Holy Spirit, they spake with other tongues. It wasn't psychology. It wasn't gibberish. It was a language that the Spirit uttered through them. Could I tell you, the real tongues is supernatural to evidence a supernatural power. I know there's the fake. I know there's the imitated. I know there's the counterfeited. But there was the real. When people were filled with a divine supernatural spirit, they spake in another language. Hallelujah. We can expect something supernatural. Oh, glory to God. I'm not talking about gibberish. I'm talking about when the Holy Spirit has so much control that He's got control of the tongue. Hallelujah. Amen. Some trying to get real smart and they say, well, you want to keep this thing about tongues, but what about the sound of wind and the fire? You don't still get that. Amen. They're not even thinking. You see, the wind and the fire came before they were filled with the Holy Spirit. The sound of the wind, I could preach a long time on what that wind and fire meant, and I'm going to spare you. But I'm just telling you, the sound of wind and the fire was the signal that God's Spirit had come. And it was after the fire and wind that the Spirit filled them. And the only sign that when they were filled was they spake with other tongues. Glory to God. I said, glory to God. Hallelujah. 120 of them, and every one of them spake in another language. Amen. I don't have time to go into this, but do you realize He's already poured out the Spirit? Don't look at me like this is false doctrine. It's the truth. We don't need Him to pour out the Holy Spirit again. That came with the wind and fire. We just need to be filled and refilled with the Spirit He's already poured out.
How many believes we can expect something supernatural? Amen. Last of all, we can expect something that's wanted. Why did they stay there seeking the Lord? Not just because they were told to stay there. Not just because it was promised. Not just because they knew they needed it. But they stayed there because they wanted what was promised. They wanted what was needed. They wanted what God said they could have. You see, this 120 were so in love with Jesus that they wanted whatever came from Him. Did you know that anything Jesus can give us will only make Jesus more real and more precious? I said anything Jesus could give us will only make Jesus more real and more precious. I love the way old timers put things. I remember Brother Clinton and Sharon. I'm trying to download this as I share it, but he said he got saved. It was later in life when he got saved. He said he got saved. Wonderfully saved. Went back to church the next night. Went down to the altar and an elder got him, held of him and said, "What do you want tonight? You got saved last night. What do you want tonight?" The Holy Ghost. Amen. He returned to that elder and he said, "What's the Holy Ghost?" And the elder said, "It's what's next." And Brother Clinton said, "Is it better than what I got last night?" And the elder said, "Oh no, nothing's better than salvation. It's not better than what you got last night." But he said, "It'll make what you got last night better." If you love Jesus and you seek Him for the Holy Spirit and His work in your life, amen, the Holy Spirit isn't better than Jesus. The baptism of the Holy Spirit isn't better than salvation, but the Holy Spirit makes Jesus better. Glory to God. It makes living for Jesus better. Loving Jesus, would you come, music? Hallelujah. And so I'm praying, I know you're praying with me, that every service we come expecting. Now we don't have to put this off till Wednesday night. Oh, hallelujah. Someone shout glory. Could I tell you something? I'm not trying to be snarky. I'm not. But if we're expecting something from heaven, we won't be looking down at our cell phone all the time in the church. Amen. That was free. But I'm telling you, when we lack that expectancy come in our hearts, Wednesday night Bible study will be full, because there'll be an expectancy to hear from God's Word. Y'all have always been so kind to our children. And when Hannah was small, not very old, there you are, Hannah, I didn't see you there a while ago. She learned who all in the church had candy. And every service, she'd visit each one, and she'd ask them for candy. I don't know why she needed it. She'd sit with Sister Vaughn and Sister Brock, and they'd fill her up. But before church, she'd make her around. Candy, candy, candy. Couldn't hardly talk, but candy, pointed at the purse, candy. And they'd fill her up. But we talked to her. We said, "Hannah, number one, you don't need the candy. But number two, you shouldn't be asking folks for candy. So listen to us. We don't want you going around and asking anybody for candy." "Okay, okay." Right to the next service, she came back loaded with candy. "We told you not to ask for candy." I didn't. And then we found out she never asked him, but she'd walk up to each one and say, "I'm so hungry. I'm so hungry." Never ask. I wonder how God would respond if we came to His throne tonight and said, "I'm so hungry. I'm so hungry." Would you stand across this building? Hallelujah. Let's lift our hearts and hands to the Lord. Lord, I need something from heaven. Lord, I need something from heaven. Lord, I need something from heaven. Lord, I need something supernatural.
Lord, I need something empowering. Lord, I need something greater than the battle that I'm in. God, I need something greater than the darkness that I face. Lord, I need something greater than the voices I'm hearing. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. How many believe you can be full of the Holy Ghost at work? Full of the Holy Spirit at school? Oh, hallelujah. If you're here tonight and your life is bound in sin, I want you to know the Lord can set you free. You can come expecting. How can I tell you that? Because he said, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you need salvation tonight, you can come expecting. Because he said, if you'd call, he would save you. I'm going to open this service to everyone that wants to come and pray with expectancy tonight. Would you come? Would you come and fill these altars and say, I'm expecting something from God tonight. You can expect it. I've already preached a message. It's been promised. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Would you fill these altars if you need salvation? Amen. There's going to be room here. We'll make room. Amen. Would you come fill these altars? Oh, let's seek him with expectancy tonight. Let's seek him with expectancy tonight. Oh, hallelujah. 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 Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Oh, expect him to do something in you.
Do a new thing in an old-fashioned way.
Oh, let's seek him tonight.
Send down your spirit upon us, we pray. We need revival and we need it today.
Way. I've heard about the good old days where
Jesus.
The Spirit was poured out.
I need it.
A mighty move of God with signs and wonders by his power. But I can't live on memories of yesterday. Lord, do a new thing in an old-fashioned way. Lord, do
a new thing
old-fashioned way. Send down your spirit upon us, we pray. We need revival and we need it today. Lord, do a new thing in an old-fashioned way. The God we serve is still the same. He hasn't changed at all. He's looking for a people who will answer to his call, to hunger after righteousness and call on his name, to give him the glory, his love to proclaim. Lord, do a new thing in an old-fashioned way. Send down your spirit upon us, we pray. We need revival and we need it today. Lord, do a new thing in an old-fashioned way. Lord, do a new thing in an old-fashioned way. Send down your spirit upon us, we pray. We need revival and we need it today. Lord, do a new thing in an old-fashioned way. The God we serve is still the same. He hasn't changed at all. He's looking for a people who will answer to his call, who hunger after righteousness and call on his name, to give him the glory, his love to proclaim. Lord, do a new thing in an old-fashioned way.